Well, let's turn to 1 Samuel 22, 1 through 5. 1 Samuel 22, 1 through 5. No. This is a shorter story today from 1 Samuel. Sometimes it can be a little bit longer, but just five short verses, and yet really power-packed with helpful, useful truth for God's people, for us. Especially at a time when a lot of people in the United States and even many in the world are asking questions of what can be done. We've seen recent shootings in schools, and even very recently this week with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, a fellow brother in Christ, and people wondering what can be done? What do we do? And what this passage has for us does address that. But it's a passage for God's people. It's not a passage for the United States of America. It's a passage for God's people, about what God's people are to do and what God's people are then to share with others that they might do the same. Waiting for God. Waiting for God to reverse situations as we walk by faith. Let me read for us today from 1 Samuel 22, 1 through 5. This is not just any book. This is the word of the living God. It is the sword of the Holy Spirit. Beginning in verse 1. And maybe a little bit of context. David is currently on the run from King Saul, who wants to destroy him, who wants to kill him. David is officially on the run for his life. David, who has also been anointed as the future king of God's people, even the present king. Beginning in verse 1. David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul, gathered to him, and he became commander over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. And he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and my mother stay with you till I know what God will do for me." And he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Then the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not remain in the stronghold. Depart and go into the land of Judah." So David departed and went into the forest of Herod. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you would take your word, you would take your word and plant it deeply in our hearts, that we might know it, love it, and obey your word. For the glory of your name, for the good of your church, for the good of your world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When I was a child, like elementary school, I remember I had a teacher, and she asked the students, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" In fact, I remember her asking me individually during lunch, and I told her I wanted to be a comedian when I grew up. And she laughed, and I was like, "Well, good, this looks like I'm doing pretty well so far." And then, as I grew up, I wanted to be an actor. The thing about being a comedian or being an actor, you know, wanting to make people laugh and that kind of thing, it means getting up in front of people and speaking, right? That's a big part of being a comedian or an actor, is to get up and look people in the eye and speak, right? As I grew up, like many people do, I began trusting voices that I should not have trusted, doing things that I should not have done, and eventually using substances that I should not have used, to the point that when I was in college, things had gotten so bad that I could not look people in the eyes. The guilt, the shame, the fear, the things that were going on inside my heart and soul, I couldn't look people in the eyes. If you had seen me back then, I would have always been like this. Not really, only looking up to you for a second. It was like you could look in me and see what was wrong with me. And I didn't speak much either. Didn't talk much. I certainly didn't want to get up in front of people and ever talk. The substances, the choices I made had destroyed me. And I longed for things to be changed, for the situation to be reversed. Today, we're going to be talking about a family tradition of God's people. Or if you will, a tradition of the kingdom of God. And that is that God's people are people who have always been a people waiting for reversal while walking by faith. Waiting for God's reversal while walking by faith. And I want to show you that that's what the author of this story wants us to gain from this story too. This true historical account of what happened with David. So we're going to look at this in two pieces. First, we're going to see how this author wants us to see that the norm for the people of God is that on some level we are waiting for God's reversal, God's redemption of the situation. And then we're going to look, secondly, at how it's also the norm that while we're waiting for God's reversal, we're walking by faith. So first, waiting for reversal. It's so interesting as you read this story to see the way that the inspired prophet who wrote it wants you to also think of other stories. Did you catch it? The travel log. Where did David go? He begins where? Verse 1. The cave of Adullam. Now, we might not know where that is, but that's in the promised land, the land that was promised to Abraham. The land that, under the leadership of Joshua, the people of God went in and conquered, ridding it of people who were performing absolutely horrendous acts of child sacrifice and things that are unspeakable, so that the world might see how the people of God live in communion with God and might be attracted and come themselves to the land. There's David in the promised land, under threat, in the cave of Adullam. And some of these caves can be absolutely huge in this land of the world. Well, anyway, that's in the promised land. But where does he go? And David went from there, verse 3, to Moab. And then where does he go from Moab? Eventually the prophet Gad comes along and he says, don't remain there, verse 5. Go into the land of Judah. So did you pay attention to David's travel log? You guys writing it down? What's David's travel log? He goes from the promised land to Moab, back to the promised land. Now let me ask you a question. This David who's under distress, who is feeling the weight of bitterness, and also along with him, his kingdom people who are bitter people in distress. Have you ever heard of somebody in the Bible, maybe before David, who went from the promised land to Moab and back to the promised land? David's great-great-grandmother, Naomi. Remember? She, with her husband and her sons, under distress and famine, go to Moab for respite. And yet when Naomi gets there, not only her husband, but her sons die too. In bitter distress, eventually she goes back to the promised land. What was Naomi wanting? What was Naomi hoping for? Even as she changed her name from sweet, which is what Naomi means, to bitter, modern. She was a woman in the midst of distress who needed a reversal. And we know that that reversal came. Because Ruth, the Moabite woman who came back with her, eventually met Boaz, and Boaz provided protection and sustenance for the family. And through their marriage, they had children, and through them eventually came David himself. God brought Naomi through that reversal. He reversed her situation. He redeemed her out of her bitter distress, bringing Boaz, bringing children, bringing everything back that Naomi could have hoped for and more. But Naomi, when she went back into the land, was a woman in the midst of distress, awaiting that reversal from God. But we also see it again. Even as we read this story, we see it says, and everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. Not only David is in distress, but all of his kingdom people are in distress. And do you remember anybody in distress earlier in the book of Samuel? Who else was in distress? The very beginning. The very beginning of Samuel, the whole book begins with somebody in the midst of a situation in which they are waiting on the Lord for reversal, namely Hannah, the wife of Ahimelech, the woman who was barren, could not have children, wanting reversal. She says, as she's in the temple, verse 10 of chapter 1, she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. These same words being used of Hannah, the author wants us to remember that, to go back to that, to see Hannah in the midst of a distressing situation. She says to the priest there, I am a woman troubled in spirit. And she prays that God would reverse her situation. And having prayed, she waits for his reversal of the situation. And of course, the Lord brings a reversal of that situation in Hannah's life, bringing Samuel to be born of her. And then the very next chapter, the book of Samuel is set off with this whole idea of the Lord who brings about reversal for his people. She sings a song that in many ways the mother of Jesus takes on her lips later on in the Gospel of Luke. Hannah sings, talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread. You see the reversal? But those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. You see that reversal? The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. The Lord brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. And so what we see as we hear the story about David, who is going from the promised land to Moab, back to the promised land, in distress, with a distressed people, is not simply to hear a glum and dark story, but to hear a story that is going to be reversed. You see? It's a story that is going, it is a situation that is going to be reversed. That's what we're to take from it. He is in the midst of the distress, but he will not be there along with his people forever. He will not be there forever. That's what the author wants us to see as he reminds us of these older stories of his great-great-grandmother and of Hannah. And in fact, we of course see it in King Jesus himself. Jesus, who was crucified, although he did not deserve it, he was a sinless man, but he died for our sins. He was crucified. Talk about bitter distress. whipped, beaten, mocked, crucified, the wrath of the living God laid upon him for what we had done wrong. This man, in bitter distress, and on the third day, raised to glory. This is the family tradition. This is the way that the living God works with his people. We are a people who find ourselves in situations in which we can say nothing but we are distressed. This is a bitter situation, God. This is a difficult situation. And we're waiting on him for the reversal that only he can bring. So the first thing we need to learn from this story is that being in times of bitterness and being in times of distress is not unusual for the people of God. It's something that happens in every generation of God's people throughout the earth. This is how God does things. God allows his people to be in situations of distress and trouble, yet with the hope that he will reverse the situation. We don't understand why God works in this way, but this we know for sure, he does work this way. And another thing we have to hear is that doesn't make waiting any less bitter or hard. Waiting in the distress, in the bitterness, in the suffering is difficult. And that's what God wants us to hear and know, that he knows that it is hard. He knows that it is distressing and difficult. And that he is going to bring about a reversal. Now, for some of us, we are waiting for reversal for things that we know that apart from God's absolute miracle will not be reversed. I spoke to you about my mother-in-law recently, whose back is in such terrible shape. Outside of this, an absolutely supernatural work of God, it will not change in this life. And so as my mother-in-law Janice awaits the reversal of the situation in her back, the pain, the suffering, the distress, as she awaits it, what is she awaiting for? She is awaiting that macro, that big reversal that is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to make all things new, even Janice Messerschmitt's back. In her immortal, resurrected body, she is waiting for God's reversal. And it's not easy, but it's certain. But there's also the micro-level distresses, sufferings, difficulties that we all face as God's people. And God wants you to hear, I know it's hard. And yes, I have brought you into this situation according to my eternal plan, and you may not understand it fully. You probably can't understand it fully. But I want you to know also, I will bring about reversal in this situation in one way or another. And it might not even be how you would imagine. But we're waiting. Just like Hannah. Just like Ruth. Just like David, just like David's kingdom people, just like Jesus, we are waiting with hope for his reversal. And what do we do as we're waiting by hope? This brings us to our second point. We walk by faith. Walking by faith as we await God's reversal. That's exactly what David does, right? In verse 5, then the prophet Gad said to David, do not remain in the stronghold. Depart and go into the land of Judah. So David departed and went into the forest of Herod, back in the promised land. What is a prophet? A prophet is a mouthpiece for the living God. He speaks God's word. And why does God speak but to be trusted, but to be obeyed? Here's David in bitter distress. And the word of the prophet comes. And what does David do? He obeys. While he's waiting for reversal, he walks by faith in the word of God. And this also brings to mind all those who even came before David. The verbs that are used in this text, the Hebrew verbs, halak, go. And David halaked. He went. He departed. These are the same verbs that are used with Abraham. When the Lord spoke to Abraham directly, not even through the mouth of a prophet, but from the heavens itself, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. Something of a call into a distressing situation, is it not? Everything you know, go to the land that I will show you. And Abraham halaked. And Abraham goed. And Abraham went. David following in the same family tradition, and it's the tradition that Jesus entered into as well, of course. But you see, with David, this was not like go and follow the word of God into a less distressing situation. No, in David's case here, it's actually making his situation more distressful. You're in a stronghold in Moab. No, go back into the land where your enemy is, who wants to kill you, along with all your people that you have. Go into a more distressing situation. And Abraham walked by faith while he waited for reversal. In the same way, Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, God, if there be any way, I am committed to loving these people. I want to see my people be saved. But if there's any way, could we not have to go through the distressing and bitter work of the cross? But he knew the Lord's will. And so he prayed, let thy will be done. And he went and walked by faith, waiting for reversal. It's the same call for us. We too are to walk by faith in the word of God as we await God's reversal. And we don't have just some sentence or two from the prophet Gad. We have the word of the living God to guide us so that we know what we are to believe and do with our lives for the glory of God and to enjoy God on his kingdom mission. This word is to be obeyed. We are to walk by faith in this word as we await God's reversal. And that can be so hard, can't it? I'm feeling pain. God's allowed this pain in my life. I don't want to walk by faith in his word. Maybe you found yourself saying that. I'm in this difficult situation with my friends at school, and probably doing something that God doesn't want me to do. That could get me out of this situation. But no, the call is to walk by faith, even in distressing and bitter situations, and trust him for the reversal. You're in a bitter situation at work. While you're waiting for God to bring about change, walk by faith in his word. You're in a distressing and bitter situation in your family. Continue to walk by faith in his word. Because as we walk by faith, even when we walk by faith, and that means that things become a little bit more distressful, we know that Jesus will bring about the reversal, one way or another, not always in the way we imagine, but he will bring it in God's perfect timing. He will bring it in God's perfect timing. This too shall pass. Well, I guess you can see that things changed for me. Right? I didn't become a comedian. Thank goodness, right? I didn't become a comedian. I didn't become an actor. Although sometimes I do act like my pain is, ow! I didn't become a professional comedian. I didn't become a professional actor. So you say, Pastor Tim, God didn't reverse your situation Because for him to reverse the situation, you wanted to be a comedian. You wanted to be an actor. Then everything got screwed up because of your bad decision with Pastor Tim, but then you became a Christian and you believed in Jesus, and although it wasn't easy right away, in fact, it was some distress and suffering that went on for years, still struggling to be able to look people in the eyes, still struggling to know how to speak to people for a couple of years after I was a Christian. And you didn't become a comedian. You didn't become an actor, so I guess God didn't reverse the situation. But that's why I'm telling you. Expand your vision for the way that God reverses the situation and how He'll reverse your situation. It doesn't have to be a one-to-one correlation. It can be the divine mind doing more than you could have ever asked or imagined. Because when I was a kid, I'll tell you one thing I never thought I would do. Be a pastor. I never thought I'd be up here occasionally telling jokes, occasionally dressing like characters from the Bible, and preaching the Word of God, looking you in the eye, and speaking in front of you all. But God's design is greater than I ever could have imagined. Can you believe that His design in your suffering and your distress is greater than you could imagine? And that He is going to reverse your difficult situations in ways that alcohol or drugs or an illicit relationship or money or success absolutely never could. But the living God can. And while you wait for a reversal that is so fantastic, can you walk by faith? The answer is yes. Because the Spirit of Christ is within us to enable us to do just what He calls us. Let's pray. And Father in heaven, thank You for this word. We pray that You would let us to even delight to walk in the footsteps of our fathers and mothers of the faith, to even walk in the steps of Jesus as we wait for Your reversal and walk by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.